There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
After the hour, welcome into the whole show, powered by Chevron. Full 3 hours, full throttle. I am Brady Hull. We've got Angel on the other side of the bulletproof glass, fresh off of watching the new Godzilla King Kong movie, too. I'm going to pick your brain about that, Angel. You're the monster guy in the family, so we'll talk to you about that a little bit later on, because I got to get your thoughts. But last night was interesting, or yesterday. Starting with the Rockies game, that was rough. That was something. And then the Avs game, that was rough. That was something. And then the LSU and Iowa game in the Elite Eight was incredible. Iowa wins 94-87. Caitlin Clark scored a million points. I think it was close to a million points. 41 points, 12 assists, 7 rebounds, 2 steals, 1 block. She had 5 turnovers, but the basketball's in her hands all of the time. What a game. What a time, man. I mean, Ange, we've discussed this a bit, you know, throughout the month. And honestly, going back to about this time last year, or a little beyond that, when LSU beat Iowa. And we talked about how that was a big game for women's basketball, women's college basketball. And this is what this sport absolutely needed. And I'm not going to get on here. I'm not the guy that says Angel Reese was the villain and Caitlin Clark was the hero. Angel Reese was the big, big personality. Caitlin Clark was the more of the, I guess, I don't know, do you say modest? She was last year. This year, maybe not as much, but the modest kind of hero type player. Kim Mulkey, big personality as a coach, extremely talented, but has that, not arrogance, but confidence, maybe arrogance, about her that is appealing. Love her or hate her, she's appealing. Every time she talks now, you want to listen. I don't think that was the case when she was winning championships with Baylor. We weren't talking about her like this. So, I mean, those three figures right there, Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark, Kim Mulkey, the three of you women, regardless of the result last night, should be absolutely proud and floored that you're putting this sport on the map unlike it's ever been before. Angel, I don't know that, you correct me if I'm wrong. Have we ever been this interested in women's college basketball?
I personally haven't, but in the last year since that their first meetup last year, I think it's definitely increased in popularity. I know at least two players that play.
And you're looking at box scores.
A couple of coaches. It's you see it more and more in your social media feed, and that may just be because the algorithm is pushing it more, but it's become more of a casual sports conversation.
Yeah, and it's not just those two. There's some notable players on Iowa's team. There's notable players on LSU's team outside of those two players. Haley Van Lith, obviously. She's a big-time player. There's a lot of really big personalities. Gabby Marshall for Iowa. She's coming up. I mean, people are talking to her. Her videos are always in my feed, Angel. Because I've been watching Mulkey stuff, and I've been watching Caitlin Clark stuff, and then obviously Angel Reese goes to the podium, and I find myself very intrigued by what she has to say. And now suddenly it's like, oh, here's what Gabby Marshall had to say, and I'm watching her, and I'm learning about her. That's how this works, folks. You get one, and you do right by that one, and it catches like wildfire. And I think that this is why college women's basketball For many reasons, obviously the skill set's there, and there's been some tremendous players over the years. A lot of tremendous players, a lot of tremendous coaches. Kim Mulkey was a tremendous coach well before she was with LSU, and she was a phenomenal player. She was inducted into the Naismith Hall of Fame, and Michael Jordan did her introduction. So this is not something where I think people should take offense to it. You got to be real with it. I'm not saying there hasn't been great players. I don't know that there's been one quite like Caitlin Clark, but there has been a lot of great players over the years. But collectively, nationally, we weren't talking about them. Now we are. This is highly entertaining stuff, man. And now you have to embrace that. You have to be ready. And you know what they're doing? They're building up the other players. They're building up these, well, I guess a player like Gabby Marshall's not a young, none of these are young. None of the ones right now are young. They're all probably going to declare or go to the WNBA or something. I guess we'll find out about Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark officially. But this is the opening to my show. This is the opening to a lot of people's shows. College basketball, on the women's side of things, I'm going to say, you know, with at least those top two or three teams, it didn't beat men's basketball overall. But they're so top heavy right now, and that's a positive because now you got to try to capitalize. Who's the next Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, Gabby Marshall, Haley Van Lith? I mean, those are the players you got to look at and say, how do we make those players big time? And this is all through their play and their personalities. And that's why the NBA that's why the NBA launched and got absolutely massive when Michael Jordan stormed onto the scene. The NBA was somewhat popular in the 80s, but it wasn't until Michael Jordan stormed onto the scene and then the NBA knew they had something and they went with it. Jordan lit the NBA on fire like wildfire. And then all these other players came in, the Reggie Millers, and it's not like John Stockton, who's older than Jordan, but I think he was. They all reaped the rewards, the benefits from that. They were all great players, but they needed a superstar to blow up. Golf, Tiger Woods. And then after Tiger Woods, you had a bunch of big-time names like Rory McIlroy that came onto the scene. And then it was easier to follow along with that because they paved the way. And again, that's not to say that there hasn't been some tremendous athletes on the women's side of things. We just haven't seen them quite like this. I mean, Caitlin Clark, the stats speak for themselves. And Angel Reese puts together big-time numbers, too. Her resume is huge. But she also brings with it a little punch to it. Yeah, she's a little cocky out there. Yeah, sure. Maybe a big-time cocky. No question about it. Mulkey, she talks, and you know she just believes in herself. She believes in everything she's doing. And that story about in the Washington Post, she's overpowered that. That's going away. More people are talking about them not being on the floor for the national anthem than they are about this story about how she treated certain players differently, perhaps some of them because they were gay. That story, Angel, is gonzo. We haven't done any. You brought this up last week. This journalist spent 2 years digging this up, and it's gone. I mean, have you heard? I haven't heard much about it since it came out. I mean, the first day or two, they were remarking on it, but this is going away because the game and the antics inside the game before and the pregame, all of those things have overtaken this story. That's what happens in college football. That's what happens in college basketball. That's what happens in the pros. The play ultimately outweighs a lot of this stuff that happens off the court and off the field. This is how you know you've made it. Now you got to capitalize on that. If UConn beats Iowa, then you have to blow up the winners of that game. You have to turn them into the giant killers. They got to make a little video about that and make it huge. I used to talk about this years ago when ESPN started every other video, every other highlight they had to be a woman's game. And I always used to say they were doing that just because that was their motto. It's all equal. The NBA is not greater than the WNBA. Women's basketball or men's basketball is not greater than men's basketball, women's basketball, whatever. We all know that's not true. That's not true. Don't tell me it's snowing when it's 90 degrees outside. That's not true. This morning, Angel, You know what dominated the feed, and it was right that it did? Women's basketball. These games last night. And they've arrived. Now the next step is to continue to build off of that menu. Momentum. What did you think of... Did you watch much of this game? I don't know if you did or not, because I know your schedules are crazy.
I saw a lot of it mostly just through social media.
So you were... And I know you had plans. You had big plans. And I get that, totally. Listen, I'm not to the point where I'm setting my calendar by a college women's basketball game just yet. But I'm definitely, like, sitting around going... Do I want to watch hockey? Do I want to watch baseball? Oh, you know what? That's right. We've got the Elite Eight game on, and it's Caitlin Clark, and it's Angel Reese, and it's Kim Mulkey, and it's all these this other great cast of big-time players. This is how you do it, and it was absolutely phenomenal. So hats off to, obviously, the players and the coaches, but this was a media victory, too. And you can say all you want about how they covered these teams. Now, the LA Times, Angel, they got crap. They had to take a headline down that said, what was it? Villains. When it was LSU and UCLA, the headline last week was they referred to LSU as villains and dirty debutantes. Now, they since have edited that and changed things up a bit. Because, obviously, the coaches were very upset, LSU and UCLA. The players were very upset. I think anytime you're going to throw the word dirty around, Angel, you're going to get in trouble, don't you think? I mean, even if we're talking football, what do players hate? What did Joker hate so much after the Morris incident? That national media was leaning toward, is Nikola Jokic a dirty player? They hate that. That is a sports slur, and obviously some took it as a bigger type of a slur or whatever, and I'm not here to debate that necessarily, but the fact that we're talking about an LA Times article being edited because of the backlash from an LSU and UCLA fan base, or especially an LSU fan base, that means you've arrived. That means you have... brought this thing so high up that people care about it. They're arguing about it. You're not what I'm looking at comments now, and I used to just get, who cares? You'd see that when they throw a highlight or a final score of a big college game or whatever. It's not that as much anymore. It's still there. But you're seeing comments on the game. Angel Reese, that was a foul. Caitlin Clark, oh, she's so cocky, screaming at her dad and the fans. And that means you're watching. It went from, why are you sharing this and why is this on my feed, to I've got an opinion on Kim Mulkey. I've got an opinion on Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. It's fascinating to me. This is one of the reasons I love sports so much. I love the on the floor, the actual play. But the human study behind what makes a sport tick, what grows your marketing footprint, in the world of sports, in the world of just news in general, we are witnessing it right before our very eyes. And don't be that person that's going to text, oh, Brady, you've been missing out. College women's basketball has been amazing for way longer than you were even born. I'm sure it has been. I'm sure. But my whole life, I was told Michael Jordan was the bee's knees, that John Elway was a superhero, and the Broncos were king. The NFL was king, were king, or still are king. That the draft is something I should care about from, like, when I was born. That was a big deal. That's what I was told my entire life. And then you grow up in that world, Angel, and you just become a fan. I didn't watch a ton of Bulls games in 1993. I was seven. I wasn't like, oh, man, did you check out Jordan at another triple-double? I'd go to first grade or kindergarten or whatever. I wasn't doing that, but I knew he was the guy. I knew I wanted his jersey, and I'd wear that jersey, and I'd mark it for Michael Jordan, not really watching any basketball at the age of 6 and 7. What you're seeing right now, again, with the presence of social media, they're telling you, you're missing out if you're not watching Caitlin Clark. You're missing out if you're not in on what LSU has been doing the last couple of seasons since Kim Mulkey got there, what, a couple of years ago. Like, that story was huge. Like, do you remember when she was with Baylor? You know she was. Do you recall a lot about that?
No, not really.
Diehards will tell you, yeah, they do. But it was phenomenal. It was just absolutely huge. Like, you're not that excited, I can tell, but I'm seeing it all over social media, all over the front headlines, and this is what you're trying to do, is build this thing up so that it's so big you can't ignore it anymore. And that's where we are in this society of sports. And now you get all the stuff that comes after it. You know, Angel Reese crying in the post game, saying she's been victimized and sexualized and all this stuff, too. And then you got people making opinions about that. And listen, I'll tell you right now, there's one take out there that's like, well, she shouldn't be doing swimsuit magazines. No. There's no excuse for some of the vile that comes out in social media. There is a follower, Angel. I don't know if you've seen this guy floating around on social media, but it's a Deion Sanders fan. He's a Deion Sanders fan. And the stuff he posts on social media, he goes after Rams fans. He goes after Jay Norvell's wife. He posts pictures of her, puts very nasty words on there, edits over the pictures. I have some well-respected media members that are Rams diehard fans, actually, or they're just on the beat. And this guy's pasting stuff on there. He posts pictures up of their kids. He's pointing at their kids. He's saying nasty, evil things about their children. So I'll be the first one to tell you, I don't care if Angel Reese wants to go and express herself in Sports Illustrated and then say, you know, people are attacking me and using a lot of vulgar language. Don't be that person. That's like, well, she shouldn't be in a swimsuit on Sports Illustrated. She can't go swimming. She can't express herself in that way. That to me is disgusting. There's no room. And I guarantee you right now, Angel, I'll put money on it, that Caitlin Clark has received probably some nasty messages too. Would you agree?
Yeah. I mean, that's social media.
Kim Mulkey's probably just gotten lambasted. I can't tell. I can tell you personally on a very tiny, tiny, minuscule scale that when I posted something about the Rocky Mountain Showdown last year, that made me think twice about posting a picture of my child on social media. Folks that follow me and are friends with me on Facebook have noticed that I don't post a lot of pictures of my child or my wife anymore, because I saw what some of these nasty people were doing on social media and going after not only the person, but digging up pictures of them from Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and X, and then reposting, copy and pasting them back and saying with a blah, blah, blah like this, you no wonder this guy is so negative. I mean, it's awful. So I believe Angel Reese 100% when she says she has had to witness some of the most vile BS in the social media world. And that sucks. That does suck. And that's why, like the LA Times, some might think, oh, it's just a headline. It's a catchy headline. You know, it does open up that big conversation again about LSU. And it's like, oh, do they play bad? Or some people take it into more of a racist side of things. And we know that's all true. To ignore that is absolutely stupid. It's stupid. And I will say, you know, on this note, the fact that you're digging this deep into it. And I saw David Portnoy, Barstool Sports, is at this game live tweeting about Caitlin Clark nonstop. Everybody was collectively getting into this story last night. And that is the power of not only skill, but marketing that skill. I've discussed this for years with leagues like the NHL. You know, the NHL can be extremely fun to watch, but they don't do a great job in marketing the organization. Major League Baseball has gotten better at marketing their individual players and blowing those individual players up and making them larger than life. They still have the changing of the times, too, where that game is a slower game than football, basketball, and hockey. So they need to do the marketing thing even bigger, because it's not like this action-packed athletic move cutting. You know, I just cut, now I'm off for a 50-yard touchdown. Or Caitlin Clark just shooting it from half court in a split second. Iowa can be tied and then they're up 7 because Caitlin Clark got hot. They got a steal. They got a turnover. Baseball doesn't lend itself to that. But when you actually have the sport that is exciting and you do have the players, well, now it's on the organization. It's on the teams to put those players out there. And you don't think NIL's helped that? Again, the way name, image, and likeness is supposed to be designed is the way you're seeing it with Caitlin Clark. State Farm. She's all over commercials now. That's what I believe NIL should be. You become a player. You get good. You're good enough to garner a few media deals here and there. And then you go out and you make the best of it. None of this paying you to come here and play crap. That's what's happening. NIL should be doing what we're seeing with Caitlin Clark. And I don't know, do they get paid to do a swimsuit modeling thing, swimsuit issues? Do those athletes that come in and women that come in get paid for that?
I'd imagine so.
So that's an NIL.
ESPN or some kind of magazine.
That's an NIL deal right there. So that combined with the pure skill set of a lot of these players, and again, the larger-than-life persona has blown this thing up. Angel, let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good, and let's just give her her flowers. Caitlin Clark was a beast. Just as good as advertised. 41 points, 12 assists, 2 steals, 7 boards. She was 13 of 29. I mean, she's shooting. She's getting after. 9 of 20 from the three-point line. She got to the free throw line 7 times and made 6 of them. 41 points in an Elite 8 game against the team that knocked you out, took the championship away from you last year. Special moment. Special moment in sports. That's a memorable deal. It will be memorable to see how this thing finishes, too. The bad for me was the Avs losing last night. Was it 4-1? The worst team, one of the worst teams in the NHL, in the Blue Jackets. They were without 3 of their top 6 goal scorers, and yet they beat the Colorado Avalanche. Eesh. We talked about playing with fire and coming from behind and being down early. They did it the other night. This was not the case for them. Didn't have a lot of clean looks at the net either. Coach Bednar talked about, we just didn't have enough traffic in front of the goalkeeper last night. I mean, that was one of the big things. Just were not in flow. Didn't really have much of an offense going there. The ugly for me, oh boy, the Colorado Rockies lose. And yikes, it was not a bad pitching performance at all by Dakota Hudson. I mean, he played pretty well, Angel, but it was the Nolan Jones error in the 6th inning that really got this thing rolling. Here's the real clip of it.
Base hit left field. Here's Hat. They're going to hold him up. Oh! It gets under the glove of Jones. It rolls all the way to the wall. Hap is in. Suzuki is in. Morrell will stop at third. Now he's coming home. Oh, baby!
Jones goes to field that ball, and maybe if he fields that cleanly, Angel, he might throw out the runner right there, and there's not a run scored, because we've seen what Nolan Jones can do. He can launch that baby. But it just goes right underneath his glove and goes all the way back to the wall into Sherwood Forest, there where they have their little dead trees, and he has to go get it, throws it in. It's not a great throw. And they can't get it to third in time, and you had 3 runs from it. You got to shout out to DNVR Rockies, Angel. They took that clip, and they put this in a way we were all thinking it. They just had the people to go edit it. So there's Nolan Jones running to go grab it. Oh, nope, it's under the glove. All the way back to the wall. He goes to pick it up. Throw it to short. No, that's not going to get there. That's on the ground, and it's everywhere now. Oh, there's another run scored, and the Cubs get up 3-0. At that point, they win the game 5-0. The Rocks are 1-4 right now. And is that the worst thing in the world? No, but now you start to see when you struggle, now you start to combine all of the negatives that have been happening to start the season. Obviously, the first game of the season, when you have a 14-run inning with Kyle Freeland on the mound, and then you get something like this where it's just a really egregious error that costs you 3 runs from a guy that you really think the Rockies are going to try to build around in Nolan Jones. So, rough go for the Rocks, Angel, any guesses as to who's going to the mound today or tonight for the Colorado Rockies?
This is game six, so top of the lineup again, Kyle Freeland.
Kyle Freeland. It is a gotta-get-right mentally game against a Cubs team last year that was one of the best offensively. So they're 2-2. We'll see how they do overall, but Angel, this could get scary. This could get ugly. And if Freeland struggles today, and I know it's harder to score in Chicago with the wind and everything, but again, the Cubs being one of the top teams in offense offensively last year, obviously you had to do half of that at home, figured it out. So this, if Freeland struggles today, this could be, I don't want to get too dramatic here, but the beginning of the end as far as him being a starting pitcher.
Yeah, and well, unfortunately, the last two games, the Rockies have had decent pitching.
Yeah, Dakota Hudson was good.
It's been Nolan Jones, one error in the outfield that just creates that. And when you're a team like this that doesn't get a lot of breaks going their way anyway, one mistake can cost you an entire game. Because you're already, you know, okay, we only have one win, but we talk about the mental ability with this team, and it's something like that that just takes all the life out of you. It's like, ugh, man, we were doing good for six innings, and we just let three runs go.
Yeah, defensively, they were. You know, obviously struggled on the offensive side for the Rocks yesterday. They had three hits, thought they might get something going at the top of the third or top of the sixth. That was right before the Cubs went off. You started to see the bats warming up a little bit. Yeah, Rocks struggling so far. Again, long season, but through five games, sample size, probably what a lot of the naysayers expected this team, where they expected this team to be. I mean, you said you didn't want this team to be at one or two wins before opening day.
Yeah, I don't feel great about that.
You got, what, two more games before opening day? You got Cubs today, Cubs tomorrow, off Thursday, and then opening day is on Friday, home opening day for the Colorado Rockies. 32 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break. We've got our Chipper's Lanes poll question available for you. You can go vote at theholeshow.com or follow me on X. What has had more of your attention? What's had most of your attention the last month? Women's basketball on the college side? Men's on the college side? NFL free agency draft period? Or the Avs and Nuggets number one seed chase? Go vote. We'll be right back.
Get your game day forecast with meteorologist Cody Wilson. Fridays on Good Morning NoCo, only in Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
36 minutes after the hour, and there's Angel. This is why I love you. For so many reasons, Angel. During the break, you looked at me with all the seriousness in the world, and you said what about the Rockies?
They're not statistically the worst team in baseball.
This is what keeps me going, bro. Those are the kinds of things that keep me going.
I'm not going to sit down until you say something nice to me for once in your life.
You knew when you challenged me last year I was going to have a hard time with it, so you're just taking matters into your own hands, and you're like, you know what? Enough, because there's a couple of teams that have yet to win a game. So yeah, well, what are we talking about here?
Yeah, it's easy to say all the Rockies are bad, they're terrible, they do dumb stuff like that. And say, okay, well, let's look at the standings and see if that's reflective. It's not. They're still at the bottom, but there's three teams that don't have a win yet, including the Marlins, the Mets, and the White Sox.
Yeah, and well, the Astros finally won yesterday, right?
Yes.
And they were winless before, so there you go.
And there's 6-1 win teams.
We haven't even gone a week yet, and the Rockies already are in the winning column. You know?
Yeah.
So
you could be the Mets and have zero wins, and you're the Mets.
Yeah, you could be the Mets, and that's a rough existence. You know, with them, because their expectations are always way up here, mm-hmm.
and then you got the Big Apple over in the outfield, and it's the New York Mets. Come on, I know you're not the Yankees, but you're the Mets.
You're the Mets. Should be respected. So when they're struggling, you know, people are shocked. People are really upset with that.
I mean, Friday, it could be a one versus two loss or win team with Tampa Bay coming in. They have two wins.
Well, then that just means the Rockies are going to win on their – they're going to make it a joyous occasion and win on their home opener.
Would you take, like, balanced success or that they were just undefeated at home?
For the Rockies? Would I take the Rockies to be undefeated at home?
Yeah.
Well, that would be your 500, right?
Just about.
Yeah, I'd take.
Perfect at home. Can't beat them at Coors Field.
Yes.
But on the road, they're sub-500.
Give me something. Even if they're not perfect at home. Give me an above-500 record by quite, you know, a few games here or there, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 games. And then you can at least hang something there and go, we've figured out how to own Coors Field. You know, we're not perfect, but we figured out how to own it. Give me something that we can hang our hat on when it comes to the Colorado Rockies. And right now, we're looking at the young guys. And you're looking at Tovar, and you're looking at Jones, and you're looking at Doyle. Jones has, I think the Rockies came out yesterday and said, dude, he's just got to relax. But I guess my thought is like, you've been playing baseball for 2 months already. You've been spring training, man. You can't be nervous anymore. I know he's got the arm of a Greek god from the outfield, but I mean, it's easy for me to say sitting in here in the studio, but the times for nerves should be gone or whatever it is with Nolan.
You watch baseball enough. You see every team makes these kind of mistakes every now and then, but for the Rockies, it feels just like a, oh my gosh, look away, but you know, your hands split open a little bit so you can keep looking at it just to see how bad it is. But I don't want to say it's baseball, but that happens. It happens in minor leagues. It happens in T-ball, all that. But, you know, it happens. But well, for the Rockies, it feels like this happens way too often.
Well, there was something good that happened yesterday in this game. Chris Bryant finally got a hit. Right? He finally got a hit. He did. It happened. Chris Bryant did it. It was a hit. It was glorious. We were all so excited about this. But wait. No? No? What? They went back? They went back and fixed it? It was an error? So Chris Bryant hasn't had a hit. He hasn't had a hit yet? Like, seriously, all... I know 5 games, but he hasn't had a hit in 5 games? That is scary, man. I was like, oh, at least... You know, in front of Chicago fans, he's seeing the ball go through the hoop now. He's starting to feel it again. Chris Bryant, all right, here we go. You got a hit. You know, get the monkey off your back. Oh, it's an error. Well, you got on base, though, Angel.
He is 0 for 14. He's been hit by a pitch once.
That's something.
8 strikeouts.
And they're paying him how much? A lot?
A lot of money.
A lot of cheese, man. Absolutely wild. Just wild for Chris. All right, 11:41 the time. Let's see where you guys are looking here. I like to do these sometimes on my own social media. It's my own little study that I like to do. Poll question of the day presented by Chipper's Lanes, 2454 West and Greeley as well. What has been more interesting to you over the last month? I put 4 options. If you have something else, then write it. Women's college hoops, men's college hoops, the NFL, free agency, draft hype, all that. The draft is this month. It's crazy. Avs, Nuggets, one seed chase. Men's is leading it. On my social media, very important to point that out. Men's college hoops, they're leading it right now. Avs, Nuggets, one seed chase are second. Then it's women's college hoops. Then it's the NFL. Wonder why that is. Now, I'm a Colorado sports show host, and I'm absolutely enthralled. I'm glued to what Sean Payton is doing. I have everything listed here of all the moves they made, which tells me a very simple tale of Tank City's coming up. But I'm glued to what the Broncos are going to do with number 12. But maybe free agency just hasn't been something because the Broncos, their best free agent was Brandon Jones. I mean, the safety out of Miami that, what, started 7 games last year? 6? That was their best free agency pickup. Or re-signing Will Lutz. That was it. Well, that might be a good reason. All right, 43 after the hour. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place. after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Welcome back into The Hall Show, powered by Chevron, Lemons Heating and Cooling. They got free estimates available for you. Weather's a changing, so it's a changing of the guard, so to speak. Not getting as much use out of the heater as you were a month ago, and you're thinking about the air conditioner now. My kid, Angel, 6 years old. He's like his father. If the temperature is off, he's up. He wakes up and it's like, I'm too hot. It's nuts. So we have been trying to figure out, adjusting our temperature thermostat throughout the last couple of weeks because we can't seem to get it right. And I'm telling you, man, if it's like 71 and he's used to 71, you just hear him. It's like you see it on the thermostat go click to 71. You hear him. He can sense it so fast. And I'm like, why is it like that? Because it's freezing in here and my room or whatever. And that stuff happens all the time. Lemons Heating and Cooling. I got to make a call because they'll come fix that because we can't be getting our child freaking me out in the middle of the night just standing at the door staring at me. It's terrifying.
Well, he may make the call before you.
He just might, man.
Dad's not getting this done.
I'm telling you, it is. I love my child. He is my best buddy, the best thing. My wife is amazing. But I'm telling you, it is like a horror movie when your child opens the door in the middle of the night and you're kind of just coming to and he's just standing there. You know, or my wife will tell you the same thing. She'll look over and she's, yeah, hi, how are you? And he's like rubbing his eyes and it's like, ree, ree, ree. You don't want that to happen. That's why you call Lemons Heating and Cooling.
I remember doing that to my parents.
Did you
have a bad dream or you get sick in the middle of the night and it's that moment you stand before their door, like, do I open the door? Do I knock? I don't know what time it is.
Yeah,
walk
you
in
think.
And it's like, okay, they're sleeping. How do I do this without terrifying? And it still happens now as I'm an adult. And, you know, dad's taking a nap on the couch. You're like, can I change the channel on the TV or is he going to wake up without say, hey, I was watching that? No, you weren't.
Dads just do that. That's part of life now. Once you become a dad, that's part of it. You fall asleep instantly when you get the thing you want on the television. You fall asleep. And then when someone messes with it, it's like, hey, whoa, 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 whoa. I do that all the time. It happens.
I was watching that.
It's like my wife's like, it's been over for like 2 hours. Whatever it was you
it's
were watching
come
is
on
over.
Again. Just wait.
call Lemons Heating and Cooling. Check them out online, lemonsheatingandcooling.com. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I'll tell you what, let's take a short break here. When we come back, I'll wrap up hour number one. Broncos talk coming up. Is the DJ Burns thing legit? Like, do you think is he a football player? Do you think he could be a football player and make that transition?
What would he play? Like,
I don't know.
D-line or something?
Well, we had a texter yesterday. It's like, should the Broncos go after DJ Burns? I'm like, he doesn't look like a tight end, does he?
No.
Could he play? I mean, could he lose some weight and play tight end?
Maybe.
You know, limber up a little bit? But he's got skill, man.
I mean, you want to put him at your linebacker spot and just, hey, stand in the middle of the field. Don't move. Just be a wall.
D-tackle kind of guy. All right, cool. Let's take a quick break here, Angel. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Start your day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hall.
All Welcome back to the whole show powered by Chevron. Man, things are booming here. It's so much fun to be a part of this radio station and what we're doing with KFKA. Exciting news. It was announced yesterday. I think the press release is coming out, but it's out there because you'll know on Thursday night when you're listening at night and you hear Nuggets and Clippers battling it out on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. The station has become an affiliate with Altitude Sports and Entertainment, so the station will be airing Avalanche and Nuggets games the rest of the season. I know there's not much season left, but also through the postseason. So we're going to be able to follow this team even closer than before with the Nuggets and the Avs both being on KFKA. So it's pretty exciting. I'm very pumped about that. Good things going on this station. And we got other big things, too. And I've had a lot of great compliments on this, but I do a weekly podcast now called Football 52, and that is with UNC head football coach Ed Lamb. And I know it's easy to just go, Brady, why do you want to talk to an 0-11 Division I head coach? My answer is, why not? Those guys have some of the most interesting stories because they're coming in trying to – it was a crap show when he got there, and he's trying to figure it out and get to know all the personalities and everything, figure out what you got. He had a lot of success at Southern Utah. He obviously was successful at BYU. And so now he's coming in trying to change a culture. And this is a one-hour-a-week sit-down, deep-dive podcast. And when we say change a culture, a lot of people don't know what that means. Oh, just be more positive or be more strict or what? Mm-mm. I mean, you would be amazed at the weekly battle, the daily battle that is to change a culture with a football team. And I'm not, and Ed Lamb's the first one to tell you, he's not blaming the players. He blames himself 100%. But he's talking about how we do things. How his thing, like a lot of coaches all have things, right? What they're into, what's their big thing? His is in the weight room. Busting it, earning it every single day, every single minute of your lifts, your cardio, your workouts, whatever. And he's preaching that to this ultimate level, just trying to get guys on the same page of that. But Angel, it's also fascinating. He's preaching, be good to your body. And that's not just take care of yourself, you know, go out once in a while. He is wanting his football team to pass on everything when it comes to the alcohols, the parties, the late night video games, all that stuff. And that one's a tough one. That's tough to bend that spine. And, you know, everything I've talked to him about, most of the players are all in. And you know what, Angel? When you're a bad program, and you've been a bad program since you joined Division I, you have to look at it and go, why not try this? Why not try to be as close to perfect as we can be on and off the field and see if that changes? And I love it. I think it's fascinating. You try to tell 21-plus, you know, 22, you know, all those things like, hey, I'm going to tell you not to do it. Are you going to really believe that they're not doing it? And Ed's told me, like, some of the players on the team have told him personally, hey, man, I did. I went out and kind of partied, had a couple, and I felt it all week. I could not get right. I couldn't get my workouts right. I was behind a step. My lifts were worse. It's incredible. And suddenly these players are telling their buddies about it. And then the other players, it's like a domino effect. It's like, whoa. If you put in the extra, not just on the field, not what everybody else is doing, and that's what we say, when everybody else is doing it, that's what they're doing. Everybody's lifting. Everybody's working out. Everybody's throwing passes and catching passes and all that. But not everybody is dedicating themselves mentally and physically the rest of the way through. Like he asks them, I want 6 months of just turn it all off. Six months.
Yeah, there's the culture you see if you go watch a workout, and there's the culture that is there when they're not working out, when they're right. Not watching film.
And when you're a bad program, you pull out all the stops, man. You see if you can change. You can do so much to change your program for the better. And if you haven't caught those, they're available at 1310kfka.com. They also go out through all of my whole show podcast channels. Football 52, episode 9, coming up bright and early tomorrow with Ed Lamb. All right, second hour, coming up next, big story of the day.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.